We'll pick up the countdown shortly here, and in H-minus 10 seconds, the countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Quantel, opt-in, opt-in, go tape.
This is Publius bringing you A Step Farther Out. Your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society.
One other party is in this conference.
Hi. Oh, Merry Christmas. I tried to dial in a minute ago, and I got a beep, beep, beep. You are not authorized to dial into the public telephone network. Not sure what happened to that. Sorry, I'm a couple of minutes late. What can I say? It's Christmas. I had planned on Friday, just vaguely, to read the Christmas story out of Dickens' Pickwick Papers, because I thought that would be cool. But then I slept through my time slot, so I guess I'll have to read it on Tuesday, if nobody objects to that. There's also a ghost story. It used to be a tradition to read ghost story, tell ghost stories at Christmas, but I don't know if that's still a tradition any place. I've seen mentions of it, though. So where are we at? What am I going to talk about this week? Where am I at? So, well, the literal answer to that is I am in Munich, capital of the Free State of Bavaria in the Federal Republic of Germany. And last week, the reason why I didn't do any live shows is that I was at the World Science Fiction Convention in Washington, District of Columbia, capital of the United States of America. It's funny, in the District of Columbia, you see lots of, you know, statehood for D.C. signs, things like that. People are mad about the fact that they don't have representation in Congress, that kind of thing. Of course, that's intentional. The thing with the U.S. Constitution is that there were some very powerful states, New York, Pennsylvania, right, for example, Virginia, large, powerful, populous states, and none of them wanted any of the others to have the political influence that would come with having the national capital there. You know, they were very familiar with the situation in England, where London is the city, right? The city, period. That it's the commercial capital, it is the political capital, it is the one place. And other major cities like York or Leeds or Manchester or Birmingham just don't have a chance. All the political life is concentrated in London, and the you know, economic life is concentrated in London. So it's often said that the British government is run by and for the bankers in the City of London, essentially, a very small group of people who are in no way representative of the overall population, right? So the thing was that Washington, D.C. was deliberately established as a political neutral zone, and with the idea that the people living there would all be government functionaries or people with an interest in that, basically people who worked for the government, and then people who, you know, kept hotels and restaurants and so forth to serve people who worked for the government. And so they were deliberately excluded from being represented in Congress because that would give them too much influence. In much the same way as many European countries used to have, some still may have, laws prohibiting members of the military or government employees from belonging to a political party. In which respect, we might remember that Hermann Oberth was breaking the law in Romania because he belonged during the 1930s to the Transylvanian Nazi Party, which is one of the few things I think that's actually potentially scarier than it sounds. I don't know, Transylvanian Nazi Party sounds pretty bad. People talk about, I think I've mentioned this before, people, you know, try to cast, you know, von Braun and the Operation Paperclip group as Nazis. Oberth was the one who was actually a member of the Nazi Party at one point. And it was the Transylvanian Nazi Party because he was, of course, by nationality, a Romanian. The place where he lived and was born and grew up and worked and so on had been a part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. and like many places in Eastern Europe, had a sizable, you know, there's basically, if you look at a map of Eastern Europe around 1910, in terms of what language people spoke, what nationality they considered themselves to be, etc., Germany, right, Germanic people are in all these little dots. Basically, there's lots and lots of German-speaking towns and cities all over Central Eastern Europe. In Poland and what's now Poland and Czechoslovakia, or Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, and so on, there's lots and lots of places where there are German-speaking towns. And so there are whole districts. So, for example, the Romanian district of the Siebenburgen, which is where Hermann Oberth was from. Anyway, so like many people who were sort of on the fringes, Oberth wound up being a German nationalist, at least for a while, sort of romantic nationalist. He had beliefs about what was and wasn't German or German-ish, right? That when the movie Frau im Mond, the Fritz Lang movie, The Woman in the Moon, was made, you know, he went to Berlin to work as a consultant. They had this idea that the UFA film company had this idea that they were going to pay him to build an actual space rocket. And he was there for a few months and then just disappeared. And nobody heard of him for like 3 or 6 months after that. And when he surfaced again, he was, you know, basically the experience of being in Berlin had really done a number on him. And he was denouncing the people in Berlin as being, they weren't Germans at all, they were just German-speaking Americans. That was his opinion of them. So Willy Ley, who was, you know, in the heart of this, says, you know, that it was not a surprise to him when he found out that Oberth had joined the Transylvanian Nazi Party, and in fact had denounced Willy Ley to his Nazi Party superiors for writing to Konstantin Tsiolkovsky in Russia, in the Soviet Union. Oberth wrote to Ley to tell him that Oberth had denounced him, Ley, to the Nazi Party authorities for being in correspondence with Tsiolkovsky in Russia. Sometime after the war, Oberth wrote a book on politics or political science, and I've sometimes thought about getting a copy to read it, just because I'm sure it's really weird. So in the field of weird political science, I guess, right? So I just came from the World Science Fiction Convention. World Science Fiction Convention this time around, DISCON 3, the 79th World Science Fiction Convention. Next year's Worldcon will be in Chicago. At DISCON 3, the election was held to determine where the next Worldcon after Chicago would be held. And this is kind of important. What you have to understand is that the World Science Fiction Convention is held annually by fans in different cities. So basically a group of science fiction fans in some place will decide that they want to hold a Worldcon a few years from now. And so they will put together a bid. And the thing about this bid is that you go around and you go to conventions, basically, to science fiction conventions, because people who attend science fiction conventions are basically the people who would attend a World Science Fiction Convention. And you try to convince them that your city, your fans, will do a good job, and your city will be a good place for it. For some years the election was 3 years before the convention, but more recently it's been changed to 2 years before the convention because essentially the bidding process was strenuous and expensive. There's lots of travel involved. Unless you have, you know, local folks, there's expenses involved in renting hotel rooms and throwing parties and doing all the things that people do to promote their Worldcon bids. Anyway, so nowadays at convention in year N, the election is held for the convention in year N plus 2. Now, how do you vote in this election? Well, the answer is first you have to be what's called an attending or supporting member of the current year's Worldcon, which makes you a member of the World Science Fiction Society. The World Science Fiction Society being the body of fans who care about the Worldcon and who are attending or supporting members of the current year's Worldcon. And being an attending or supporting member of the current year's Worldcon, and thus a member of the World Science Fiction Society, makes you eligible to vote in the Hugo Awards, which are a series of awards given for the best science fiction novel in the past year, the best science fiction short story, novella, novelette. There's Hugo Awards for Best Fanzine, Hugo Awards for Best Dramatic Presentation, Long Form and Short Form, where short form can be a television episode, long form can be a TV series or a movie, but they don't have to be. Chris Garcia's Hugo Award acceptance speech 1 year was actually nominated as Best Dramatic Presentation Short Form. He completely broke down while accepting the thing. Let's see. So, SMJ asks me, have I published a detailed review of my experience with Legacy Box? And now I'm thinking, I have an experience with Legacy Box? I hope I haven't forgotten something important. Also, by the way, are you interested in a collection of analog from the early 1970s on? Which is a very funny question to ask me, because a couple of years ago, I wound up receiving a large collection of analog, which sort of ends in the early 70s. So if somebody gave me analog from the early 70s on, I would actually have a pretty good set. He says he doesn't mean to interrupt when I'm streaming live, but hey, this is kind of stream of consciousness, so it's really okay. I don't mind that much at all. So at the Worldcon, oh gosh, I have got to take some photographs of these. So one thing that happens, so I was sitting at a table telling people about the 70th anniversary of the first generation of power from nuclear fission, right? Which I've mentioned before. Experimental Breeder Reactor number 1 in Idaho, right, the 20th of December, 1951. And that meant I was the fan tables and exhibits. Fan tables are basically tables which are given for free, typically, to people representing fanish organizations and causes. And so I got one for this purpose. They wouldn't give me a full-fledged exhibit. They didn't think they had room for one, although I think I would have been able to get one in next to the Worldcon History exhibit. But alas and alack, I wouldn't have had the ability to ship things ahead soon enough to actually get them there. So it's, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. I have no real serious complaints, considering everything else that was going on. Anyway, but I was in the dealer's room. So a couple of times a day, I would get up and I would walk around the dealer's room, which is, you know, booksellers and people selling all kinds of other things. Jewelry and anything that science fiction fans might be interested in, which of course is a really, really broad scope, right? Well, at the back of the room was what's called a freebie table. And the freebie table is where you put things you want to give away, things you think people might be interested in. And so people would put out free copies of their book, or little postcards advertising their book, or postcards advertising their convention. I put out a bunch of little mini CDs advertising Hear Now the Words. Each one a mini CD, right, with a couple of chapters of the books I've read, and then also an on-radio sticker, because I got up like 40 of them or so, I guess. Anyway, so I was walking around the dealer's room, looking at the free tables, putting my stuff out on the free tables, and there was a roll of papers. And I unrolled these papers to see what they might be. And I swear to you, if there had been a kilogram gold bar next to them on the table and I had to choose one to pick up, I would have had a very hard time choosing. Because it turned out to be a set of 6 posters done by Frank Kelly Freas, very famous science fiction artist, 1971. They were actually designed by him and printed by the students in a high school graphic arts program. which is really cool. Anyway, but they are posters which were intended to raise awareness of the importance of space and space efforts. In fact, I'm going to read you now what Frank Kelly Freas said about them. This is good stuff. Okay. Here we is. Him. Six to Go by Kelly Freas. Last spring, I was assigned by Analog Magazine to do a series of sketches of the NASA facilities at Cape Kennedy. I thoroughly enjoyed doing the job, but came away deeply concerned about the future of the space program. It seemed to me that the situation was nothing less than desperate. The rhetoric couldn't contradict the obvious fact that schedules were being wound down, missions scratched for lack of funds, personnel being sharply cut, all the signs of imminent collapse. Since we science fiction types seem to be the only ones who appreciate the real importance of the space program, as opposed to its political and economic aspects, it looked like we would have to be the ones to do whatever could be done. I decided that my contribution would be in the field I know best, the illustration of ideas, and shortly came up with designs for a series of posters. Since I had no idea what to do with them next, I asked the advice of my friend Ben Gray, graphics coordinator of the City of Chesapeake School System. The Chesapeake Schools authorized its graphic students to produce a series of six posters to be placed in all the schools in the system. The kids would do everything, photography, plates, printing, from my originals. To interest professional graphics people, we decided to make the posters by an experimental showcase of graphic. We decided to make the posters an experimental showcase of graphic technique. I would make the color separations by hand, a separate drawing, in effect, for each color to be printed. For poster buffs, there would be a couple of primarily decorative ones, and fluorescent colors and paper would be used in such a way as to give a pleasing effect in either ultraviolet or normal light. So there's black light posters. But yeah, black light posters. I haven't had the chance to get them under a black light, actually. From the art standpoint, the series is very close to qualifying as fine art prints. As the designer and artist, I followed every step of the reproduction process, etching and retouching each individual negative by hand, approving final plates before printing, and adjusting colors as required after proofing. A total of 3,000 final copies of each design was printed, 1,000 to the Chesapeake Public Schools, 1,000 to Nakusa Edwards, and the final 1,000 to me. That is all. I hope that someone will pick up the idea and print a larger edition to follow up, but even so, it would be a standard commercial run rather than an art piece. Nakusa Edwards Paper Company Incorporated supplied their finest paper in return for a share of the posters to be used in their sales promotion. This meant distribution to the men most influential in graphics, important communicators. The Bourget Color Corporation contributed materials for color separation with a view to incorporating the posters in their training program. 3M provided the lithographic plates for printing. I'm sorry, it's an old mimeo. I should make clear that although this is entirely a grassroots operation with no official status and fueled primarily by the enthusiasm of a bunch of high school kids, it is not an amateur job. These kids are top-flight printers. They have been winning national awards one after another in open competition with the country's best professionals. It is hoped that science fiction fans, who understand better than any other group of people how much is at stake in the space program, will make their contribution by spreading the posters and their message far and wide. With this in view, the price has been held as low as possible and the set designed to provide each buyer with posters to keep and posters to give away. It is our hope that each buyer will find a way to display two or three posters in local schools, in offices, factories, coffee shops, and bar rooms, anywhere that the point can be brought before non-science fiction people. We don't need to be convinced. The public does. The price is $8.50, including postage and handling for the set. Write Kelly Freas, Route 4, Box 4056A, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23457. Of course, that's no longer, you can no longer do that. But the other thing that it came with was the original mailing tube, which had a label designed by Kelly Freas himself. Anyway, so yeah, I got those, and my intention is to use them more or less as they were originally intended, you know, in displays promoting space activities, because God knows As I have emphasized to people again and again, you know, this is a thing I get into with people, right? People say, well, we've got to solve the problems we have here on this earth before we go anywhere else. My response is, maybe the solutions aren't here. Maybe a global perspective is too narrow. That's that's a thing. So yeah, I definitely believe that the future of humanity is cosmic. If we have a future at all, right? Which I sure hope we do. What else is there to say about that other than that was a really amazing thing? But yeah, so the election this time around, so the site which was selected in site selection was Chengdu in China. The Chinese fans have been showing up for a while to bid for this, and frankly, I have nothing against them, but I do feel that holding the Worldcon, which is a fundamentally a literary convention, in a country which, no matter how big a media market it may be, is a country where writers and people like that are subject to a constant censorship, right, to make sure that what they write is according to the party line and advances the goals of the Chinese Communist Party, and where you can be put in prison if what you write is not in accordance with that, I felt that that was deeply inappropriate. You know, the Worldcon has been in Japan. That's one of the countries it's been in. I would be happy to go to a Worldcon in in Taiwan, I guess, or Singapore. Hong Kong wouldn't be the greatest place right now. But mainland China, in my opinion, is out for that reason. But more than that, there are a lot of people in fandom who would not be safe. I don't think I'm breaking any confidences here when I say that fandom, for a long time, has been a refuge for non-conforming people. And that includes, for example, people who are non-conforming in terms of things like sexuality and gender presentation. I saw a whole lot of people, for some reason, somebody had the idea that you should put a little sticker on your convention badge. Convention badge gives your name or whatever name you want to be called by, and sometimes where you're from, although this time they didn't do that, I think it's good when they do, with something like a Worldcon where people come from all over. And somebody decided it would be a great thing to put a sticker which said basically what pronouns you like to use. Anyway, the main choices being, you know, he, she, or they. I sure saw a lot of theys. Well, anybody who put a they, right, would not be welcome in the People's Republic of China, which recently banned, quote, sissy boys from TV. In other words, any male who's not considered to be adequately masculine in his appearance and, you know, and demeanor is now banned from television in China. So there's a lot of concern about that. And then, of course, there's the fact that there's people in fandom who can't go to China because, for example, they're computer programmers who work in mathematics, and the National Security Agency is concerned about what might happen if they went to China. So there's, and you know, and then there are a lot of people who have other concerns. I mean, the competing bid was the Winnipeg bid, Winnipeg, Manitoba, which I was hoping to go to Winnipeg. Honestly, I voted for Winnipeg. But major supporters of the Winnipeg bid were Chinese Americans, right? Hong Kong expatriates, Taiwanese, basically anybody ethnically Chinese who's not a PRC citizen is subject to being arbitrarily detained in the PRC. And so they wanted Winnipeg to win. Unfortunately, most people at the convention didn't vote. That's just how it is. You can vote ahead of time, or you can vote at the convention. There are a lot of votes were sent in ahead from China, and a lot of people at the convention didn't vote. Anyway, we've got about 5 seconds now until the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, so thank you for listening to A Step Farther Out on Anon Radio.
7, 6, 5.